don't know about you, but I find walking the way of Jesus during Lent is a big ask. I find it every year and it doesn't get any better in my book. But anyway, today's themes are particularly stark, I think, and Jesus does not pull his punches. People die out of the blue, and we're not to blame their sin or God's judgment. Jesus doesn't go down all the theological rabbit holes that he might have done, which we tend to explore, because he knows they're all nonsense. They won't get us anywhere. He is very down to earth. He speaks of events they will have heard about, just as we try to think about events in our time, in the light of Jesus and of our faith. Then, as now, people get caught up in stuff, and buildings collapse. And that's not their fault, and it's not God's will. Why and how could we blame God for Pilate's lust for power? Just because it was convenient for Pilate, for those Galileans to be killed while sacrifices were being offered, it doesn't tell us anything about the people who died tragically and suddenly at that time. It does give us a sense of the Romans' methods of suppressing the Jews during their occupation and what it conveyed to the people. Jewish lives were worth no more than the animals they sacrificed, was the message they got. But that doesn't tell us anything about the Galileans. We may think there's a message there, though, for the way in which people who had thought themselves free are being treated by occupying forces, both then and today. And the tower which collapsed in Jerusalem, killing people at random. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Jesus didn't read into it any more than that. Stuff happens that people haven't brought upon themselves. And those who are left deal with it however they do. But the way we deal with things is always a choice, even if it doesn't feel like one. Of course, there are ways of responding which are more or less grown up, more or less generous. And we grow in grace again, more or less, depending on which choices we make. We don't know what the people made of those disasters then, any more than we know what the legacy will be for all those impacted by war in and far beyond Ukraine. Because people in North Africa depend on Ukraine for cereal. And many of them are already in food poverty, and starvation is likely to become more widespread because the food chain will be disrupted. Disaster causes hardship and death, whether it's natural disaster or whether it's around geopolitics, people's lust for power. Then, after all that, Jesus reminds them and us that being self-aware is vital. Knowing our own motives and weaknesses is a matter of life or death. Of course, when he speaks of perishing, he's not talking about just physical death, but something more like atrophy, of being stunted, of failing to grow and develop. When that happens, it's as if we shrivel, we come to nothing. Instead of nurturing God's potential and life within us, we have wasted it, and it's as good as dead. And answer to the fig tree, the recalcitrant fig tree, which fails to bear fruit. A fig tree without figs is a waste of space and soil. There has been no fruit for 3 years, and it's a disappointment at best. Will it be ripped out and replaced? Or does it get one last chance, which is what the gardener wants? It'll get a year with TLC and extra nourishment, and if it doesn't show signs of producing then, it's doomed. It's effectively written its own death warrant. And that seems fair and reasonable somehow. So the tree has a reprieve. It's a conditional reprieve, but as it exists only to produce fruit, the solution they've come to seems reasonable, just, even generous. If we put those two halves of the passage together, we see that Jesus is contrasting our powerlessness when sudden disaster strikes us, and what might happen when we are struggling and given this the help and the support to change things over a year, a whole growing season. We might see that as a threat, but if growth and flourishing are what we want, what we long for, we commit to it. The year that is granted to that fig tree is for us a bit like time for amendment of life. Some of us may remember that phrase from the Book of Common Prayer, and we use those very words in Compline during Holy Week, after we have reflected on our lives, our motives, and our actions. Realising that we've failed or refused to bear fruit, we admit it to God and to one another. Then, as we are assured of forgiveness, God is asked to give us time for amendment of life and to grant the grace and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I invite us now just to reflect in silence for a few moments, with a few questions in mind. If you were commissioned to become fruitful over this next 12 months, what might you do? In your own life? In our church life together? What fruit might result to nourish the community in work? How might that contribute to God's kingdom? What might it look like? And what would it take for that to happen? So just a minute or two of quiet as you ponder with God. And if you'd like to do so, maybe share your hopes briefly with the person sitting next to you. You're allowed.
Do you want me to do that? Tedesco.
So maybe we can share that with God and with each other in our time of prayer and perhaps over coffee too. Maybe trust in our Maker, our Redeemer, the one who gives us life, even in these uncertain times. Amen.